And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this very cold Monday morning. Hope everybody had a fabulous weekend. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
I'm doing okay, but, you know, I come here for... This is the only place that I can get ESPN, and I can't even get it here. Like, ESPN is just out of my life.
Yep.
I'm actually okay.
That's good.
I'm just going to go to bed tonight. You tell me how the game goes.
I will.
I'm just going to go to bed and get you more sleep. Thanks. Thanks, YouTube TV and ESPN. You lousy sons of bitches.
It's far. How we doing? What's
good
going
morning.
On?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks. It was a nice, relaxing weekend of not watching the Titans.
Yeah.
Picks went okay. We'll see about tonight. I need Eagles to pull through for me.
Thanks.
I mean, Robbie'd be perfect, you know, if not for Vrabel.
Yeah.
He continues to just destroy it.
Yeah. I kind of piggybacked off Robbie on that one. Maybe we should stop picking against Vrabel at this point.
Yeah, you let me down.
We got a Vrabel segment today, by the way.
We do.
Okay, fun. But yeah, doing good. Had a good weekend. It is a little chilly out there, though.
It is.
So get the coat out.
Very cold.
Yes.
Very cold. It will warm up later this week, they say. So looking forward to that.
Just a little taste of what's to come, I guess.
Yes. We got a lot of things going on the program today. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they're coming off the bye week. Get his thoughts on a busy weekend of NFL action as well. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean at 8:30. The Nashville Predators in New York tonight taking on the Rangers. And then they're off to Sweden to take on Pittsburgh for a couple of games. And a lot of losing going on right now for the Nashville Predators, which is not good. So we will get into that from Alex and see what could be in store in the not-too-distant future with the Nashville Predators a little bit later in the show. Joe, we begin, though, on the NFL front. And by the way, we will get into Vanderbilt and Auburn coming up here in just a few minutes because what a wild game that was over the weekend.
Indeed.
So we will get into that coming up here shortly. Good weekend in the NFL for the underdogs. Good weekend in the NFL, frankly, for the Tennessee Titans. If you're a fan out there that's looking forward to the draft order coming up, the Titans now currently hold the number one pick in the NFL after this weekend. The Saints win. The Jets win. The Dolphins win to get to three wins down there against the Buffalo Bills. By the way, Dolphins 30-13 at home against Buffalo. So I cannot for
what a league.
The life of me figure out the Buffalo Bills. It's not the first time they've had just a horrific loss this year. Good weekend for the underdogs. Again, the Jets get the win against the Cleveland Browns. They put up 27 while doing so against that Cleveland Browns team. If you're a Titans fan that's focused on nothing at the moment but the number one overall pick, it was a nice, solid weekend for you in the National Football League.
Yeah, the Jets sell off all their good players, and it's just roll. It's just I guess nothing but winning for the Jets. So, yeah, you are now – I mean, it really couldn't have gone much better, I don't think, because, I mean, the Jets just don't have that many opportunities, I don't think, for wins. And the Browns was one. And the Browns sitting there, too. They got potential, too. Let's not count off those Cleveland Browns for that top pick.
By the way, can I point out how amazing it is that the Jets won the game 27-20, and their quarterback – let me read the stat line to you. Have you seen this?
No.
Okay. Justin Fields. This is the only passing offense they have in the game, by the way. 6 of 11, 54 yards, one touchdown, one pick.
My goodness.
They won the game.
And they won. They
scored 27 points.
It's wild. I mean, you know, again, like you said, Dolphins blowing out the Bills is wild. The Colts, I thought for a while, I watched that game, I was like, you know, this is going to be just beautiful. They go all in, and then they can't beat the Falcons. But to their credit, I mean, Daniel, you know, they made the plays late. You know, they got it done. I mean, we had two 44-22 games yesterday.
Yeah.
In the NFL.
I was not impressed with Penix. He missed some throws.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think he's just a little bit too erratic, you know? I agree.
He missed a couple of easy throws. Kurt Warner a couple of times is like, oh, that's one he'd like to have back.
Yeah.
He said that like three times in the game, bro.
Yeah, yeah. There was that one, I know the one you're talking about, I wonder if the receiver should have sat down in the zone, but still, you know. Yeah, I think he's just pretty good. I don't think he's going to be great.
By the way, Jonathan Taylor, 32 carries, 244 yards, 3 touchdowns.
He's great.
Good for your fantasy team there. Hey, Robbie?
Yeah, it was. Pretty good.
Oh, God.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Have some of that, Kuharski.
Oh, good. Well, that makes me feel better then. I didn't really want you to win, but if you're playing Kuharski, sure. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor is, I mean, he's incredible right now. So, you know, just if you are the combo, and I assume maybe some of our Colts people are this, I don't know, let us know. Yep. I never really talk about them. But if you're the combo Colts-Hoosiers fan right now, like almost the same game.
Yeah.
Where it's like you get sacked late, you're screwed, it's over, and then you have this crazy drive. So what a life it must be.
By the way, can I point out, I mean, this was very predictable. I should have gone with this in Pigskin Pick'em because I fully expected it. You know, Carolina Panthers go on the road last week to Lambeau Field and beat Green Bay. And then they lose 17-7 at home to the New Orleans Saints.
I've kind of just assumed they're bad all along, but then every once in a while you're like, well, wait, maybe they are good. I don't know. They're like as erratic as it comes.
I don't think Bryce Young had a good game either.
He did not. He was 17-25, 124 yards, one pick, quarterback fumble. Rating of 62.8, had a fumble. Tyler Shuck, 19-27, 282, 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
For the Saints.
Well, you know, that's one of those things where if you're the Titans, if you're a Titans fan, you want as many quarterback needy teams as possible. So, like, you'd rather see Tyler Shuck suck.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And, like, the Saints be among the teams that would want to, you know, come up and go get Fernando Mendoza, who, by the way, I know we're going to get in this later, but hey, that guy's pretty good, man. That guy's pretty good.
Pretty good. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Chad in Hendersonville to the program. Chad, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, thank you. Good stuff as always. This is going to be maybe the first, or there maybe you've had a few first on this topic, that is going to become potentially the only thing that talk radio is going to be about for a year. So you're welcome for me bringing that up, but get ready for that. You talk about a burnout factor, and it is simply this. Fernando Mendez, do I got that right?
Mendoza, like the Mendoza line.
There you go. He's going to be the number one pick, and he's prototype across the board. You could say Joe Burrow comp. You know, the comps are. He's 6'5", absolute prototype, like a big time number one pick, and that's where this whole draft is headed. And if you don't think. The best thing the Titans got going is they're going to have a new regime coming in. And if you don't think that's the number one pick for the Titans, you couldn't be more wrong. And that's going to be a discussion. It's like, hey, can we just use the number one pick on Cam Ward? Could we do this again? 100% is the answer. And you have a zero football IQ if you don't think that's the answer. And I was in with this with Kuharski on this years ago, where he thought the Vikings had to go, the Titans had to go all in and stay in with Marcus Mariota back in the day when I thought they should have pivoted. But the point is this. This is the guy. This is Joe Burrow. This is your franchise quarterback. This is opening a stadium with potentially a top three. This is Drake May falling in your lap. And you have to pivot on this. And if you're going to double down on Cam Ward and draft a defensive end at number one, you have zero hope. This is where the whole franchise is going to come down to for the next 20 years. Are they going to? And I think a new guy comes in and says, hey, I'm taking my guy. I'm going to probably have to move off Cam Ward. And if that happens, the future is very bright for the Titans. And this is not 50, 50, 51, 54. This is 100%, bro. 100%.
Thank you, Chad.
And history will prove that. Thank you.
Okay. 100%. Well, hey, I like the conviction of the take.
Me too.
We need to calm the hell down that Fernando Mendoza is.
Joe Burrow.
He's Drake May. You know, he's good. He's a good player. I mean, he's moving himself into position to be this year's number one quarterback. I don't know. What do you think? You tell me your opinion of that opinion.
Well, I told you a few weeks ago, if it continues to be this bad, we're going to hear about a lot of quarterbacks that people want from a Titans standpoint. I don't think they're going that route. You know, he talks about the new regime coming in. I mean, it's the same general manager that picked Cam Ward that's going to be there. So
yeah, the new coach is
coming in.
I mean, I guess if they brought in like I guess it depends on who the new coach would be in terms of, like, okay, if I'm taking this job, like if I'm Mike McCarthy, how much I got to say, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. But it's still the new same GM.
And I'm not saying you totally close the door to that, right? Like if you go through your evaluation and you're like, well, you know what? We do think Fernando Mendoza is the next Joe Burrow. Like, well, okay, well, then maybe. But didn't you kind of just say that about Cam Ward, drafting him when you did, right? So I would put the chances of the Titans drafting a quarterback at number one overall at about 2%. That's where I've got it.
Yeah, Trevor says it's too early for that, LOL. Kylan Shelbyville, damn, I have zero football IQ. Jude on the YouTube chat, like, no! This call is zero football IQ. Look. What's the caller's name again?
Chad.
Chad, don't do the zero football IQ thing, man. You don't know. We don't know. No one knows. Borgonzi doesn't know. Okay? The football gods don't know. Is this guy going to be great? Is this guy going to be – is Cam Ward going to work out? Is Mendoza going to be amazing? You don't know, man. I mean, like look, that's fine if that's your opinion, and you may end up being right. You cannot sit here and watch some Indiana football for, like, two-thirds of a season and know without a shadow of a doubt you have to be a football moron to think you can't possibly pass this guy up. Come on.
615. That's just like your opinion, man.
Nice. Thank you.
615-737-1025.
But it's an interesting take.
That's our phone number. Well, we're going to get into that in the 7 o'clock hour. Going to be a lot of takes on the quarterback front. How is the college football quarterback situation shaping up that could help the Titans at the number one overall pick? I guess be that if you think they should take one of these guys, or if you think, like I think most Titans fans do, that they should trade out of the pick. We will get into that in the 7 o'clock hour. But coming up next, the Vanderbilt Commodores survive in overtime against the Auburn Tigers over the weekend. Rex Rhode was there. We'll get his thoughts on another thrilling game for Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rhode, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rhode, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning, buddy. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, what's up, Robbie? What's up, Uncle Joe?
What's up, Mark?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good,
I know
man.
Y'all getting ready to talk about Vanderbilt. Joe, I thought I saw you on TV at the game, sir, and I didn't know, man. It's one of those moments I looked and you were gone. Was that Joe Rex Rhode? But I guess you were at the game, Joe. But
I was in the press box. Was it a shot from the press box?
No, I thought I saw you in the crowd, Joe. It wasn't the press box. Yeah, I thought I saw you in the crowd.
Crowd
Joe.
Surfing. But, I got doppelgangers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, hey, hell of a game Saturday, man. 377, 112 yards rushing by Diego Pavia. Hey, Robbie, I thought that – that game right there, and even go back to the game previous week against Texas when he put that comeback in the mix on Texas. This guy ought to be rated a lot higher. He ought to be number two behind Mendoza as far as the Heisman race. He's carrying that team on his back. Stowers had a great game, over 100 yards. Stowers took some big licks in that game, Joe, but he held on to the football.
Yep.
They needed Missouri. They needed Missouri. I said that Friday. They needed Missouri to win. If they had Missouri won that game Saturday against Texas A&M, which they didn't, that would look good for Vanderbilt getting back into the playoff. That was really the last team that could help Vanderbilt, Joe, because they were ranked like 22nd at the time, Joe and Robbie. So Missouri lost in a big way Saturday to Texas A&M, but Pavia had a heck of a game. And I thought Coleman, the wide receiver for Auburn, that's a star in the making.
He's a star.
He needs to hit the transfer portal. Daniels had a great game. Auburn had a great game plan coming into that, but Coleman's he's a beast, man. Only a sophomore. But Robbie Joe, who was Mel Kiper? Was that Mel Kiper Jr. calling y'all on the radio earlier? I mean, come on. Yeah, I mean, man. Look, okay, Mendoza had a big play to Omar Cooper to end the game against Penn State. That was a close game. But man, you can't just give up on Cam and say this guy is the next Joe Burrow. They say the same thing about this quarterback up at UConn, Joe. I don't know if anybody's seen him. He's a heck of a quarterback, but they call him the next Joe Burrow. But, you know, I didn't know if y'all knew Mel Kiper Jr. or not this morning, man, but I'm going to disagree with all that, what he said about that. I'm not going to give up on Cam, and maybe the next regime will come in here with a coach who not only knows how to call plays, but knows the rules of the game, too. So, hey, man, good cold morning out here, Joe. Drinking some hot chocolate, man, some bear milk, Joe. Robbie, y'all have a good day, man. We'll go head on down to Atlanta.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate
all right, stay
you,
warm.
Absolutely.
Chad McShay. Chad McShay, is that right?
Oh, nice. I like that. Well, we will, again, we'll get into the quarterback part of this a little bit later in the show, but a lot of thoughts on that on the text line so far, so we will get into that a little bit later. As Mark mentioned, Diego Pavia, 25 of 33, 377 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns for Vanderbilt, and also had 112 yards on the ground, another touchdown. So just an electric performance from Diego Pavia against Auburn. And, Joe, they needed every last bit of it in that game because Auburn's offense came alive and looked better than they've looked all year long in the aftermath of the firing of Hugh Freeze. I wondered what we'd see from Auburn in the game. And for a minute, it looked like Auburn may run Vanderbilt out of the building. And then Vanderbilt, to their credit, mounted a comeback after that. Joe, you were there. What stood out to you about Vanderbilt's performance and the ability for them to survive, get to 8-2, and remain in the college football playoff discussion?
Yeah, one thing, you know, to go back to Mark's call there, you know, he's talking about Missouri, and by the way, great pick by me. Good pick by – actually, good pick by you in that game, but – yeah, I should. You know, the
have some of that drink. What's
yeah? I mean, but it's also he's on his third quarterback. The thing is, I thought that kid looked good, you know, for on a couple drives at Vanderbilt. But obviously, you know, without Prabula, they're very limited. But one thing that I would correct Mark on is, I mean, the Tennessee game is a huge win if you get it. Now, I watch Vanderbilt's defense right now, and I'm going to say the same thing I said last week. I don't like their chances right now to stop Tennessee. Now, their offense is, I mean, it absolutely saved them. And here's the thing. As bad as Auburn has been offensively, first of all, I know Auburn fans are like, oh, gee, so Hugh Freeze leaves. He's not calling plays anymore. And by the way, that kid actually can play? Unlike
that
the quarterback
was
that
legit.
Well, yeah, and Cam Coleman is a stud. He's going to be a high pick next year. I mean, what a receiver draft 27 is going to be. But
you're talking the quarterback.
What's that?
You were talking the quarterback, Auburn?
Yeah, well, I mean, they changed to Ashton Daniels, and yeah. It's like, oh, wow, quarterback who can play. You know, so that's Auburn, that's their side of it. They have been an awful offense all year. It was another bad performance by Vanderbilt's defense. There's no lipstick on that pick. Also, Auburn's defense is elite.
Yeah.
Like, Auburn's defense, is along with Indiana and Ohio State, has given up – the only defenses have not given up more than 24 – like, all of their numbers. And look who they played. Oklahoma, Georgia, Texas A&M. They stuffed all those teams. And Vanderbilt destroyed that defense. And the thing is, and this game was, like, it was chippy before. Like, Auburn did not, like, Auburn came out like some of those teams you see, and we talked about it last week, where the coach gets fired, and they are fired up. And they put everything into this game. And so all of which is to say, Vanderbilt's defense, and I tweeted this out yesterday, he's given up 991 yards and 8 touchdowns the last 2 games, which is not good.
No.
Especially because, again, Auburn's offense has been terrible, and Texas's has not been good. Meanwhile, though, Pavia has, on his own, 897 yards of offense and 8 touchdowns, 742 and 6 passing, 155 and 2 rushing. I mean, Pavia, for people who are paying attention, as Heisman voters, like, he's my number 2 now. He has elevated himself with these 2 games because he's carrying his team. Like, there's nobody carrying a team more than this guy is right now. What does it mean? You know, again, they're going to have to win a absolute shootout in Knoxville. And also, I don't know, is Kentucky going to – I mean, maybe Kentucky comes in here and gives them a problem.
They just destroyed Florida.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's like, wow, Kentucky is playing good football. But – but bottom line, it was an amazing game, amazing atmosphere, and it's pretty cool for the Vanderbilt fan that the dream continues, even if this team is far from perfect.
Can I say something? Late in the game, in regulation, Vanderbilt went for it. Was it 4th and 2? I think it was 4th and 2.
No, it's 4th and, like, probably less than 1.
4th and less than, okay. So, and that was a play where Pavia stumbled, and he didn't get it. I saw Vanderbilt fans mad about the decision to go for it rather than kicking the field goal. I loved it, because if you pick up that first down, which they had been doing all day, by the way. If you pick up the first down, you're running the clock out, you're kicking a field goal, and you're walking off the field without ever having gone to overtime. Exactly. So I thought that was the great call. It just didn't work out on that play. I would have called that 10 times out of 10 if I'm Clark Lee.
So, yeah, I needed you in the press box, with me because Gentry and I were just going back and forth on that one. He's like, oh, that's terrible. I'm like, okay, so let's say they make the field goal from 45 yards, which is no gimme. So now this Auburn offense that's going up and down the field and you has like, what, a minute 15?
Like a minute 15
like, that's
left.
Enough yep. time to go get a touchdown. Little, or you miss the field goal and you're really screwed. I
pick up a play and you win the game. That's what it is there.
Exactly. No, I 100% agree it was the right call. At this point, if you're Clark Lee, and you know, after the game, look, he's right. The defense got to stop at the end. His defense got to stop in overtime. They had a great call on the last play where they bailed out and doubled Cam Coleman, and he threw it, and I think he kind of – and then he sailed it. It was a great defensive call. But, I mean, if you're Clark Lee, you have to have total trust in your offense and yep. very little in your defense right now.
Yeah. Again, Pavia, 377 through the air, 112 on the ground. If you're wondering, and I'm looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the odds for the Heisman Trophy – Julian Sayin, the favorite right now, quarterback of Ohio State, at plus 160. Mendoza at number two, right behind him, at plus 170. Then Ty Simpson, then Marcel Reed, Pavia at number five on the list right now.
Yeah, and Marcel Reed definitely deserves more attention. Sayin's really interesting, man, because and I guess you could say the same for Simpson. I just feel like Simpson has been more dynamic. But it's just that whole, like, is it really hard to stand there and just play catch with pros? And I know that that doesn't give him credit because he is very good. He's very good. He's accurate. The ball's off. But I just have my doubts that he's going to get the votes
yep.
because of that mindset.
No, I think you could be absolutely right. I mean, you mentioned Cam Coleman to pivot from the Heisman conversation.
He's a stud.
The touchdown catch he had late in that game was just crazy. It's just a yeah. crazy play. That he made.
One-handed.
Yeah,
lefty,
one-handed.
Tipped it to himself.
Yeah.
And then still grabbed it.
Yeah, and it was clean. Just clean. And they didn't
with
even have
defender,
to look at it.
With the defender all over him.
Yeah.
It was yeah.
just
oh, yeah.
nuts. And he ends up for with 10 for 143 and a touchdown.
Yeah, he's really good. And again, I mean, I'm watching Ashton Davis. You know, he'd been at Stanford. I mean, Stanford's been terrible. I mean, it's not like – I mean, basically he was one of those like, okay, we need a veteran, you know, to give us some insurance at quarterback.
So. They brought up in the broadcast – that quarterback in Elk Islemaner putting up all those points against Colorado. They mentioned that. I guess Zarger yeah. was doing the game, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That so was. I guess he brought in the Titans connection there.
Yeah, he did.
But yeah. yeah, he brought that up. So I guess the dude can put up some numbers.
I mean, I'm watching him and I'm like, Hugh, you might still have a job, man. You know, like, no, KYP, know your personnel.
615-737-1025. I bet his golf game's looking good right now. I bet Hugh got in some golf over the weekend, too.
Apparently, according to the message boards, Hugh like sometimes just goes to the golf course and watches people golf.
What
that is loving golf.
Go to the golf channel. 615-737-1025.
Tally-ho!
Is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Vanderbilt survives against Auburn, and the college football playoff still alive. For the Vanderbilt Commodores. We'll take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Diego, what are the emotions like after that wild overtime win?
It's unique. You know, you don't get many opportunities like this. Our guys fought to the end. You see it here. And, you know, it's just head, body. That's what we preach in there. And just, that's just me. Next play. Go to next play.
What was going through your mind when you guys don't convert on that fourth down and you give Auburn another chance?
I ended up cramping there towards the end. No excuse. I should have got it. That's on me for all the nail biting in this stadium, you know. But we'll get better. You know, we're a unique team this year. And, you know, we got to win these last two to go to the college football playoff.
You personally have beat Auburn three times. What's the secret to your success against this team?
I think when someone don't recruit you, that's a secret. But I want to also tell everyone about Jesus. He's the main superstar in this story. The whole team believes. We're just trying to step his way.
Well, your team certainly stood behind you tonight, and your sister as well. So congratulations on the win, Diego.
I want to tell people about my sister, too. 2029 point guard coming out. She's unique.
Well, congratulations to the Pavia family.
Thank you. God bless everyone around the world.
I tell you what, it's never boring with Diego Pavia, and he's speaking.
He got a lot in there.
He did.
He got a lot done.
That went on there. He got a little evangelism.
Minute
we got
six
some recruiting
there, yep.
going on for the sister.
Yeah.
Some
medical updates.
Yeah.
Medical update. Yeah.
Shots taken at Auburn for not recruiting him. A lot of things happening in that post-game interview there.
God bless you all, except all you people at Auburn who didn't recruit me. And anybody who doesn't recruit my sister.
Tell you what, Auburn probably excited to see him go, huh? It's like,
yeah,
man.
I guess so, yeah.
Doesn't matter where he is. We can't beat him.
Shout out to Auburn fans, by the way. I know that we have a lot of Auburn fans who live here, so I maybe it wasn't like a ton of people traveling, but they showed up and they made some noise. You know, it's a little the tickets for this, I kept checking secondary market, even like right before the game. It was like the lowest to get in was like $120 right before kickoff.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, in that stadium, like over the years, it'd be 12 cents. You know, for a lot of games. But Auburn fans, I give them credit. They showed up. There's more Vanderbilt on that side where the visitors always take over, but they still had a good fan support, and they made noise, and then they just watched Pavi. I mean, their team was, like, playing great, you know, going up and down the field, making plays. They were excited, and then Pavi just, you know, does what he does to Auburn.
By the way, Stowers, 12 for 122 this game as well.
Yeah, he's the whole first-round tight end. You're seeing it with him. I mean, the connection those two have, Pavi, and, of course, they both go back to New Mexico State, is pretty special. Whenever they needed to play, it's just he found a hole somewhere, and Pavi found him like that. He is. And like Mark said earlier, Stowers took some shots, too.
Oh, yeah.
He was terrific.
Yep, and as you heard Pavia discuss in that clip there, they're still alive for the college football playoff. 8-2, you got Kentucky coming in. You got Tennessee on the road here in a few weeks. Obviously, you're gonna have to win both those games if you're Vanderbilt. But, you know, the Auburn game, we talked about it last week heading into it, Joe. You know, you fire the coach. Those games are tricky. It's not like Auburn doesn't have a talented roster. I think we saw that on Saturday. And that's a big moment for Vanderbilt to come out on the other side of that. I mean, when you look up in the first half and you're just getting shellacked at home in the first part of that game, to be able to rebound from that and to come out with a huge win is a big deal. And you're at 8-2 and you're still alive for the college football playoff. The defense is shaky right now, there's no doubt. But you're going to have a chance in both of these final games here. I'm interested to see how the picture plays out in front of them a little bit as time continues to go on here, and we'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes. But another example of a Vanderbilt team that clearly did not have their best stuff, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, that just found a way to win a game on Saturday.
Yeah, and so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the committee does with them tomorrow. Obviously, we're into the weekly rankings thing, and there's some teams ahead of them that lost. And it's like, I mean, the committee loves watching that film. So if they love watching the film, sure, they love what they see from Vanderbilt's offense, but not what they see from their defense.
Yep.
That's what they are. I suppose, you know, if you like, you know, like the TV people are like, yeah, they'd rather have like offensive teams, you know, not that the TV people are in the committee room and making selections for them, but they like offensive teams. They like offensive games. Vanderbilt would be entertaining to watch. You know, we can get more into this too, but I still think Vanderbilt, when you look around, you know, if they get to 10-2, if they win that game at Tennessee, I think they're going to be fine. I mean, we'll see. There's some things that could happen, but a lot of stuff would have to happen to make it a problem for them. Again, I just, like, they're just going to have to, they're going to have to find a way to get a couple stops in Knoxville, and their offense is going to have to be absolutely high octane. But right now, it is playing, like, the offense is, again, like, you know, I have some of these stats on Auburn. Like, I said the 24-point thing, but I mean, like, in all over the place, like, this is like the best rush defense Auburn's had since 1988. You know, they'd given up a total of 12 touchdowns in SEC games. Again, against a lot of really good teams, the best scoring defense in the SEC. Vanderbilt scored 6.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is, you know, that's big time offensive performance. It's going to have to continue.
One texter says, can you please explain why Pavi is so mad about Auburn not recruiting him? There are a lot of schools that didn't recruit him, but he only seems to bring it up against Auburn. It's from an unnamed texter. He's seen a lot of Auburn.
I think, I don't remember. There may be something to that, like there may have been some contact or something. I don't know. I know that, like, I know Deion tried to recruit him when Deion was at Jackson State, but then it was like, so I'm going to just back up your son? And he's like, yeah, basically. no thanks. But, yeah, it is funny. Like, he could say that, like, just about every week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a zero-star recruit. So, especially if he's going back to high school, like, seriously, every team he plays.
Yeah.
Utah State, you know, Kennesaw State, whatever. He'd be pissed at all of them.
I mean, we had somebody bring this up earlier. I think it's Mark. I'd be interested to see what Cam Coleman does at the end of the year. Is he hanging around at Auburn? Is he going through the transfer portal? What ends up happening there?
Yeah, I mean, whoever gets that job, you know, job number one is, yeah.
Cam
Coleman retention is your number one job. Yeah, he's going to be very, very pursued. Well, he is right now, I promise you, as we speak. As Auburn doesn't know who its next coach is, this is where you have to have, like, you know, like your collective people get involved and like, hey, we're going to hire a good coach, Cam. Please, don't leave.
Like you said, on the defensive front, it wasn't just that we went over the passing numbers for Ashton Daniels, 31 of 44, 353 yards, two touchdowns. They also gave up 210 yards on the ground on Saturday as well. So it was pretty much from every angle.
Well, how many did he have?
He had probably 89. Had,
Yeah.
Two touchdowns, by the way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you're not going to find a much better quarterback game than the one we saw on Saturday between those two guys in terms of just the pure output of yards that they put up.
Yeah. I'll say, Bama fans who are listening, like that version of them, you know, with the way he's very elusive in the pocket. There were a lot of times it looked like Vanderbilt had him, and then they lost him. Yeah, maybe the Iron Bowl could be a little more interesting than you would have thought, you know, even a week ago after watching this guy play.
Is it home game for Auburn? I believe it is.
Yep. I think it is. Yeah.
Weird things happen in that stadium.
Absolutely. It'll probably be like a crazy close game, and then Bama will pull some rabbit out of a hat. Not Kate out of YouTube chat says Auburn sucks. So if Andy wins over Auburn and now Auburn is a good win, make it make sense. No. I mean, but it is a good offensive performance. First of all, any win – right now is a good win. If you're 7-2, 8-2, you're chasing the playoff. You know, I mean, it's like it's a good win. But no, it's not going to be a win that counts big. But for your offense to do that against that defense, again, who did they play? They played Georgia. They played Oklahoma. They played Texas A&M. They played another good team in there too in the SEC. They played like four in a row, like an absolute gauntlet of really good teams. Again, they shut them down. Missouri's in there too.
Yeah.
So those four games, Georgia, Texas, you know, Georgia, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Missouri with its quarterback, by the way, at that point. You know, they lost by a combined 29 points, one of them in overtime. Anybody watch that Georgia game? They dominated the first half. They should have won the Georgia game. We all know what happens at the goal line at the end of the first half. So, I mean, it's a talented team. That's why we said last week that, like, this could be dangerous. And it was.
Ethan from Lawrenceburg already trying to get Cam Coleman on the Vols. Says, Cam Coleman outside with Matthews and Staley would look pretty good.
Yes, he would.
Give him a call.
Well,
see what you can do out there.
I guarantee you Tennessee has made some sort of contact in some way. Yeah, just like anybody with a pulse out there in college football. I mean, you have a fired coach and a player like that, yeah.
Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. One of the things I'd like to say, a couple of things, and then I'll get off. But when Clark called the fourth down there at the end of the game, I don't have a problem with it. You know, probably if he hadn't tripped up, he might have scored.
He was definitely going to pick up the first down.
He was. He was going to get the first down, and with him, you don't ever know. The other thing is the way Auburn played for Durkin, he needs to get consideration for that job. Those guys played better than they played all year. Now, you know, I don't know if it's that they like him. Obviously, they like him a lot better than they did Hugh Freeze. But the guys actually played like what they thought they would coming into the year rather than what they were while Freeze was there.
Thank you for the call, Tim. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I think they've been playing hard all year. Again, like their defense is as dominant national stats all across the board. I mean, their offense has been awful.
Yeah.
their quarterbacking has been awful. And maybe Hugh Freeze's play calling has been awful. Like, maybe that's, you know, I don't think it's an issue of, as far as Durkin, I mean, I don't think what happened at Maryland, I don't think DJ Durkin's going to get a major power four head coaching job anytime soon.
Hugh calling some plays from the sidelines. Like, maybe the seven iron here, maybe six or seven iron here. It's like, you were playing football. This is football, not golf. Now you spent all offseason playing golf, but this is football that we're trying to play here.
Was he sitting in like a hospital bed? Beeping in place. It texture. This is a great point with this texture. What shocked me the most about this is that not that they won, but they have a winning record. The all-time series is Vanderbilt 23, Auburn 22.
Have some of that.
And one tie. I would not have guessed that.
I would not have either.
I'm assuming that's a lot of Dan McGugan wins in there.
I would assume so. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on Vanderbilt and the college football playoff picture after another weekend of college football coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall today. Prior to the Monday night football game, tonight's matchup, the Eagles taking on the Green Bay Packers. Big one tonight in the National Football League. It will determine my mood in the morning. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, text me updates.
I will.
Won't be able to
play
watch.
By play.
Yeah.
Second
you can listen to the radio, Joe. Somewhere.
That's true.
Who's the offender of that?
Although, wait,
in the NFL
is today ABC? It might be ABC. You got some bunny ears?
Hey, there you go.
No, I guess I could do that. Would that really work?
I don't know.
I think they do.
Yeah.
I think the new bunny ears are, you know,
it's
fancy.
It's ABC ESPN combo tonight.
Yeah,
it's free over the air broadcast.
But
let's
how much
go back
bunny ears
to the day.
Cost though?
I don't know.
See, I'm not putting another cent in. I mean, I paid all this money.
What if
for
you
my
just,
YouTube TV to watch freaking ESPN.
Just unplug everything, turn on the TV tuner, see what happens.
Give it a shot.
Okay.
Although, now we're getting into some technological things with the Rex Road, and that could end very poorly.
That's true. We did have to go through the old USB lightning adapter today for the Mac. So,
I still have one kid at home. So
that's true.
That's my technical.
Well, that might be a little bit before her time.
Yeah,
bunny ears, network television.
True. For sure, but she still might be able to like figure out what you just said. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll give it a shot. Or just not watch.
Well.
Sucks, though, because it's actually pretty cool. Pretty good game, man.
Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah,
the college football playoff picture over the weekend. Not, you know, dramatic changes over the weekend. By the way, I mean, I'm sure most people have seen it. But if you didn't see the touchdown catch in the Indiana-Penn State game, when you combine like the stakes of the catch and the play that was made to get the foot down in bounds at the end of in the back of the end zone there, just crazy. Just an absolutely crazy catch there. But, you know, Ohio State wins, Indiana wins, A&M destroys Missouri, Alabama takes down LSU, Georgia just smokes Mississippi State on the road. I mean, the big matchup of the day in terms of the college football playoff picture was BYU and Texas Tech, and Texas Tech rolls at home in that game 29-7. So not a ton that happened over the weekend to change up the college football playoff picture too much. Although I will say the Wake Forest takedown of Virginia, pretty big over the weekend.
Yeah, that is pretty big. And Louisville. I mean, Louisville losing at home to Cal. The ACC.
Just cannibalizing
itself.
Yeah,
the ACC is screaming that they're going to be a one big league.
I kind of felt like that anyway, but now it's becoming pretty obvious.
Yeah. Now it makes it. I mean, basically, now there is a big one this week. We're going to give Pat Narduzzi a little break, not do as much pre-show preparation this week because he's got Notre Dame at home. That is a big one. And if Pitt were to get that one, you know, still, they're a two-loss team, but like, okay, so there's a team that could be in there. You have Georgia Tech. You know, Miami's got their two losses.
Well, if Pitt got that one, Notre Dame's out. So,
and Notre Dame would be out. That's right. So there's a – so, and then in the Big 12, you know, Texas Tech blows out BYU. I mean, the Big 12 could also be looking at one bid. The Big 10, you had a chance. Like, Iowa was right there to beat Oregon. And then Iowa, you have to take seriously. And obviously, you know, Indiana almost lost, but Oregon comes back. You know, the Indiana drive was amazing. So was the Oregon drive. If you saw a couple of the throws that Dante Moore made in the rain, driving wind, rain at Iowa City against that defense, pretty big time. But also, so I mean, the Big Ten, you know, USC still alive, Michigan still alive, and hey, maybe Michigan can, you know, shock Ohio State like they have just made a habit of lately. But right now, the Big Ten looks like a three-bit league.
Yep.
So what we may be talking about is a six. I think five is a strong bet for the SEC, but we might be talking about six, which a year ago, all the SEC, the SEC was all up in arms. They only got three in. They might double it this year.
Yeah. Well, so in the immediate part of this, Vanderbilt was at 16 in the original college football playoff rankings. You had the two teams in front of them, directly in front of them, lose this weekend. Virginia and Louisville both lost. So you would assume Vanderbilt going to move up in the rankings. Now, where will they move up? How does the committee look at the win against Auburn going to overtime, the performance of the defense? All of those things going to be interesting to see. But, you know, that's why I say if you get to 10-2 if you're Vanderbilt, I think you still have to feel pretty good about your chances to get in.
It would take a bunch of stuff all to go against you for 10-2 not to work out. And I know people are like, oh, tell me their best win. And I hear you. But you can go through some of these other teams that are projected in the field and say the same thing. You know, so like right now, Austin Mock for us at The Athletic, he projects what his most likely bracket would be. And, you know, South Florida, by the way, is right back in a strong position. Memphis, I know there were some Memphis fans excited last week. That's a tough loss to Tulane on Friday. So South Florida's back in the driver's seat to be the – but, you know, we'll see how that all plays out. But right now, you know, your top four are looking like Ohio State, the projection here, Ohio State, Indiana. You know, they're going to play in the Big Ten title game. Excited for that one. Texas A&M and Ole Miss right now he's got Georgia, South Florida in a 5-12, Oregon, Texas Tech in an 8-9, Alabama, Georgia Tech in a 7-10, and then Notre Dame, Vanderbilt in a 6-11 tilt, which would be at Notre Dame. So that's his projection right now. Again, that's also projecting results from here, of course. Which, you know, like for example, I mean, I guess that means the expectation is Bama loses to
A&M, Bama in the SEC title game.
But so yeah, I mean, like right now, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you're in good shape. You feel great. You shouldn't worry about this other stuff. If a bunch of crazy stuff starts happening, then okay, you know, once we get to that last week, if they beat Kentucky, and again, Kentucky's dangerous. They do have this week off, which has to be huge for Vanderbilt to have the idle week. This late in the season, or what, do they have two? Does everybody have two now?
Yeah.
Pretty big deal to have it now, I feel like, especially when with some of these teams that maybe don't have as much depth as some of the other teams are going to play, to rest up and try to figure some things out defensively.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Mike Vrabel gets a big win yesterday against Tampa Bay and improves to 8-2. How good are the Patriots? And is Vrabel getting ready to win Coach of the Year again? We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.